If you're wondering what your mission is as you go on into the world, Pastor Jeff offers these words of encouragement and direction from the Lord. That's coming up next on Sound Doctrine.
I am come down to deliver you, and now I come, and I will send thee into Egypt. So God says, okay, I am with you. You'll be all right. You're going into the world. And when you go into the world, I'm going to anoint you, and you're going to have a mandate. And that mandate is to tell them about my son.
Discerning the thoughts and the intents of my heart, Lord, give me understanding. Open your word unto life, the cure I need. I know you've got plans for me.
Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." That's the mandate we have as disciples. He gave that when he descended into heaven in the book of Acts, and that's the same message that we're given now until he returns in the same way. Pastor Jeff breaks up Moses' life and call into three key areas from Stephen's message. He then shows how that applies to our lives as well. With more on that, let's open in Acts chapter 7 for our time in Sound Doctrine.
Plans to improve and correct my soul. Plans to transform and make me whole. Lord, your word is truth. Give me understanding.
And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up, nourished him. Kind of a doctor's term, made sure that he was taken care of for her own son. His mother nursed him for 3 years. Didn't even know, just grabbed this Egyptian woman who was really close to the whole situation and ended up being with him 3 years. 3 years with your child is a very key thing. I mean, those 3 years causes the child to form everything that he's going to be when he's older. You don't think that when they're 3 years old. You don't think that when you're nurturing them and growing them and speaking to them and singing with them and ministering to them and praying them through sickness or whatever, laying your hands on them, saying, God, you know, let's dedicate our baby. You know, this is important. Why? Because Jesus was dedicated. And it's special. And God just blesses that. But we know what happened. Verse 22, Moses was learned in all the wisdom and the Egyptians in the mighty words and in deeds. It's interesting. He gave Moses mighty words. Because remember in the wilderness when the Lord said, I want you to go and speak to Pharaoh. He goes, I can't speak. I stutter. Aaron will speak for me. Remember? And he'll be my mouthpiece. And for a while there, it worked all right, you know. But he said, I'm slow of speech and I can't speak. Well, man, he's mighty in words now. God's raising him up. And when he was full 40 years old, man, 40 years in the world. Oh, man, you can get damaged by that. I think I was damaged in 20 years. And it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel, and seeing one of them suffering wrongfully, he defended him, and he avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. So all of a sudden, he's coming to this realization, I want out of here. This is not my home. This is not my people. He came to that realization, and he thought, oh, now's my time. And he started to care after what was going on in his society. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they didn't understand. You know, that's an interesting verse, 25. It's not in Exodus. We only learn it right here in the New Testament. He thought they would understand. Jesus came to his own didn't know him. They cast him out, they crucified him. So he's just building the case here of just sharing about our fathers. Well, let's find out about our fathers. And the next day, he showed himself unto them as they strove and would have set him again, saying, Sirs, You are brethren. What are you doing? Why do you wrong one another? So he's seeking to bring reconciliation. Well, that's exactly what Jesus came to do. To turn the fathers to their children and the children to their fathers, to bring reconciliation to families, to relationships, to heal the brokenhearted, to minister to those that are hurting inside, and to take our aches and soothe us by his comfort, by the Holy Spirit, which brings us comfort in horrible times of pain. And you think, you know, I'll never make it, but the Lord is there. But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, hey, who made you ruler and a judge over us? So here's the rejection of the deliverer. And see, he's building it. They rejected their deliverer. What are you doing? Remember when they said, we have no king. You know, behold your king. And Jesus was brought out, all wasted, all beat up. Behold your king. We have no king but Caesar. You know, I mean, whoa, let his blood be upon us and our children. Wow, why did you even say that? Look at how the Jews suffered over the history. I mean, unbelievable. Over in Hosea chapter 5, verse 15, let me read that to you. Hosea 5:15, I will go and return to my place. God is speaking here. Till they acknowledge their offense, their rejection of their Messiah, and seek my face in their affliction, they will seek me early. And then over in Zechariah chapter 12, Zechariah 12 in verse 10, I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son. See, the Jews are going to be saved. They're going to finally say, he's our Messiah in their affliction. And the great tribulation period is a great affliction. And they're going to have to go through that to really wake them up. Well, sometimes we are afflicted, but then we learn from our afflictions and we go, thank God, because if I wasn't afflicted, I wouldn't learn from it and go after God's word and his promises and stand upon them and not what I was experiencing and not at my situation or whatever. I just got my eyes on the Lord and the Lord was there. Verse 28, he says, wilt thou kill me as thou didst that Egyptian yesterday? Somebody told him. Somebody saw me. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Then fled Moses at this saying. I mean, he was afraid. And he was a stranger in the land of Midian. He was so afraid he went to the Gentiles. Moses, he knew he was a Jew. And he went to the Gentiles. And there he marries a woman in Midian. A Gentile. So right there, right out of the chute, we're seeing that that the Messiah, he's no respect of persons, neither is God. Jew, Gentile, whatever color you are, whatever nationality you are, whatever. God simply loves you as anyone else. We're all equal, man. There's not anybody over, nobody under. We're all equal. Where he begat two sons. Verse 30, and when he was 40 years, now here's another 40. So we've already had one 40 years in the world. Now we have another 40 years were expired. There appeared unto him in the wilderness of the Mount Sinai and an angel of the Lord in the flame of fire in a bush. So interesting. Twice he's rejected, and this is the second 40-year period that he went through. In other words, God was with Moses. And I think we'd all say amen to that. I mean, look what he did. And God was with him. He didn't need a temple. No, he didn't need a temple. He had no temple. But he had a burning bush. That's pretty heavy duty. I mean, wow. That's a miracle. That's a sign, a wonder. Then Moses saw it. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. As he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and did not behold. He couldn't look. He saw the backside of God, not the front, or he would have been totally no more. I mean, you cannot behold the Lord in flesh. Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. And then he said, I have, and this is for each one of us tonight, I have seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. I have heard their groaning. So God says, I have seen your situation. And notice, I've seen the groaning. I've heard your complaints. Hey, I'm a God that has an ear to hear. And I am come down to deliver you. And now I come, and I will send thee into Egypt. So God says, okay, I am with you. You'll be all right. You're going into the world. And when you go into the world, I'm going to anoint you, and you're going to have a mandate. And that mandate is to tell them about my son. Now, this is interesting. Moses' first appearance, he was rejected. Moses, of course, is a type of Jesus. And in due time, God would send his son. In due time, God sent Moses, the deliverer, to those that were in captivity. And verse 34 makes that loud and clear. If you're in turmoil tonight, you could take this verse 34 and hold it close and believe it. And God will bless you. Now, verse 35, this Moses whom they refused, who they resisted, because he was the deliverer. So are there people resisting Jesus today? Uh-huh, all over the place. Maybe you might be here and you're still resisting the Lord. You're not born again. You're looking into these things, or maybe your girlfriend brought you, your boyfriend brought you, and you had to come. Because they want you to, you know, get right. They want you to not be left. They want you to be a part of the family that they're a part of. You see, they're a child of God, and you have yet to step into that relationship. So there's danger right there. There's an unequally yoked situation, and we have to be very careful about that. Someone said that marriage is not a missionary outreach. I think they might be right. You know, I mean, or even dating. I mean, if you're dating an unsaved person, danger. Because you're not together. You're not in unity. Oh, but he's such a good-looking guy. And he makes some good money. That's what you want. Okay. Then just hang in there, and you're going to get a little bit of that, but you're not going to like it later on. Because the Lord warns us not to go that way. Don't be involved in an unequally yoked situation. You'll get burnt. It happens every time. God saw it. That's why he warns us. So Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be ruler and a deliverer. Just like he sent his son, by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. And so the second time he will be received. The first time rejected. Remember, he came to his own, but his own didn't know him. But the second time, all of a sudden, people start coming. They're getting it. Verse 36, he brought them out. Remember, he delivered the children of Israel after that he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness. Uh-oh, here we go, another 40 years. Interesting. This is the third 40-year period. Now, Moses, like Jesus Christ, Stephen is revealing the pattern with Joseph. He was rejected, then he was received. And now, with Moses, the same thing. But to reject him is such a mistake. Moses' life, three 40-year periods. First one was Egypt's schooling, and he became something. Oh, did he become something? He became second to Pharaoh. He became the guy. He became the one that was worshipped. He became the knowledgeable one, the one that was smart, the one that knew all of the things of Egypt. I mean, how they did mummies, how they built those incredible buildings and raised up that stuff that was incredible. I mean, we've seen the pictures, you know, the movies, they do it well. And he knew all of that stuff. Secrets that we've lost, that were buried in the desert. We don't know. How did they do that? I don't know. But Moses knew it all. So here we see Moses becoming something. Not ready to really lead God's people, because he had a temper and he did kill a guy and try to bury him, and hopefully nobody saw, but you know, somebody saw. And he wasn't ready. He just wasn't ready. So he had to have another 40 years in the wilderness, and that's God's school of hard knocks. And in God's school of hard knocks, he became nothing. So he first became something for 40 years, and then the second 40 years, he became nothing. I mean, he's changing. The last 40 years, leading Israel through the desert, seeing that God can take nothing and make something out of it. God is in charge. God's strength through this Holy Spirit is keeping us today. He that began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's keeping us, man. He's keeping us. He loves us. And we just need to keep our eyes upon him and stay in the book and stay in fellowship and do those things that we know as Christians we need to be doing in these end times, because the persecution is going to grow. And we've already seen it with the society that we're in now, the hate and the lashing out. And it's going to get darker. Now, verse 37, this is that Moses. Oh, here we go. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. So he's going to be Jewish. Like unto me, Moses, him shall you hear. Okay. He is coming, but you will eventually hear him. He's going to be like Moses. He's the deliverer. He's Jesus Christ, who died on a cross for our sins. If we believe in what he did on that cross and receive him as our Lord and Savior, we'll be transformed. Well, that's giving an ear to hear. Will you hear? That's in Deuteronomy 18:15, this promise. It's Jesus he's talking about. Then this is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spoke to him in the Mount Sinai with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us. Okay, now here comes the law. As Moses, remember, he went up to get the first set, and he came down and they were all having the orgy, and he just threw it, and he had to go up and get another set. And he did. And the law was there. Oh, thank God for the law, Paul says. For without the law, I would have never known I'm a sinner. But because of the law of God, and they want to remove it from all our government buildings. They want to take it away from any place that has it. We have it in every classroom in our school. Every classroom. So when the kids are there just kind of kicking back, looking at it, they got to go over. And then we even have it in our gym when they're really playing hard and doing their thing. And different schools come in that don't know the Lord. They got to sit there and look at that. Oh, I blew it in that one. I blew it in that one. Oh, my gosh. We call it the Big Ten. If you blow it in one of them, if you can't do it, and you say, well, you know, I've never committed murder. Well, have you ever hated your brother? Well, I've never committed adultery. Have you ever lusted after a woman? Then you just broke two of the commandments. To whom our fathers would not obey. They resisted. Again, here's that resistance. Our fathers didn't obey. They wanted orgy. They wanted to, where's Moses? I don't know. They would not obey, but they thrust him from them, and their hearts turned back again to the style of Egypt. You see, they were used to living in the world, and they missed the world, and they said, we need the world. The world is what we need. And so they made the golden calf, and they started to get into the party spirit, and they started to get into the orgy, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. As for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him, you know. We don't know where he is. He hasn't come back for 40 days. He's probably never coming back. So let's do our thing. Man, they sure went fast back to the world, didn't they? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the mind. They got sucked right back into it. And this is before the religious leaders that know these stories. They know what happened. Now they're remembering and they're being reminded of that. And they made a calf in those days. Oh, so you made a temple. Oh, this is your temple. And you don't allow anybody to talk about it, anybody to say anything about it. Jesus said, very quickly, this temple will be no longer there. Boy, when they heard him say that, and then they even set up guys for Stephen to lie about it because the temple was holy. Oh, that was God to the Jews. So they made a calf. So they made a temple in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Notice, look what we have done. You know, when you go to Rome and see man's handiwork in all the St. Peter's church there, and just the massive stuff, the carvings and just the gold, and people go in there and they're mesmerized. This is man's best. This is what man has done. You don't worship that. You worship what God has done, what he has created, and what he has given in his Son. And they're not there. They worship the works of their own hands. I worked for this. I did this. It's mine to gloat and to look at and to, you know, worship, really.
As Stephen gets closer to his closing point with the Jews, he shows through their history that at heart, they've been living a life of idolatry instead of worshiping the one true God. To us, it's a cautionary tale that we should take notes and ask the Lord to show us any areas where he may not be seated on our heart's throne. May the Lord encourage you from our time in the Word today. And you'd like to have your very own copy of the study, feel free to give us a call at 1-800-353-7553. And when you do, please make mention of the study name, which is Resisting Change Part 2. Also mention the study number, which is 17320. Or if you like, you can go online and order from our Sound Doctrine Radio website. The web address is sounddoctrineradio.org. We'd also invite you to take a look at our Sound Doctrine Radio website for a multitude of other studies and study aids in your time in the Word. From Genesis to Revelation, chapter by chapter, Pastor Jeff has been sharing God's Word in length and depth. There at sounddoctrineradio.com, he also offers a broad range of topical studies for everything we experience in the Christian life, marriage and the family, spiritual warfare, and so much more. That web address is sounddoctrineradio.org. Sound Doctrine is a ministry of Calvary Chapel of Downey. It's supported by generous listeners like you. If you'd like to be a part of this outreach ministry touching lives for the kingdom, go to sounddoctrineradio.org and click on the donate button. When you do, God will use your resources to further God's kingdom and making disciples through Sound Doctrine.
Sometimes when we pray, we're not sure if it's effective. Yet, your God in heaven answers the prayers that you've offered, prayers of blessing for your own life and for others. He only asks for one thing in return. Are you willing to surrender yourselves absolutely into His hands? Legendary author and Bible teacher Andrew Murray provides wise counsel that will enable you to take a giant step closer to God as you begin your journey into perfect peace and trust. Discover the joys of absolute surrender to our loving Father today, and it's available for a suggested donation of $8, which includes shipping and handling. Simply call us at 1-800-353-7553 or go to our radio website. The address is sounddoctrineradio.org, and allow God to show you the blessings and effectiveness of a rich prayer life that comes from absolute surrender. May your life be transformed by the Holy Spirit as your heart and mind is built on sound doctrine.
Lord, your word is truth. Give me understanding. Give me understanding.